Jesus is our song. Boy, tonight he really was my song. Wow. Forgive just as Christ has forgiven you. That is our title for tonight. Praise God. Ephesians 4:29. And this is in the King James. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whether ye by sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let's go to the paraphrase, which is the Good News Bible, which I like a lot. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. And do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. Hallelujah. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I remember when Gwen and I got married, and that day was really joyful. That was a fun day. We had a good time, and the anointing was strong. It was just amazing. And what was really cool is Gwen and I, after a few months, we saw the video of it, and it was wonderful, and it was really neat to see everybody, and we got to see some of the comments that some of the people had made. But one of the comments that was made by our person. She was our maid of honor. And she said the most important thing that we could do was to speak good words, kind words to each other. That's what we need to do, kind words. Now in Matthew 12:34, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you know what? If you have abundance of love in you, your mouth will speak good, good things. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Wow. But you know, there were years ago, there was a study done. It was a secular study. It was actually done in Japan. Now, we've done it before here. We spoke about it, but never really indicated that it was done in Japan. And it was done by a Dr. Masaru Emoto and his water experiment. Now, in which he took a glass of water, he put tape on it, and he wrote the words love and appreciation. But on there was another glass that he put tape on, and that word, and that he wrote, you make me sick. Then they took the glasses and they froze them. And then they took pictures of the crystals that developed. And there was a difference. There was a big difference. The love and appreciation crystals turned out beautiful. They were gorgeous. Do you know they have that kaleidoscope and you just kind of turn it like this and see all the beautiful formations and colors? Well, that's how that was. It was beautiful. But when he turned out and looked at the crystals from the "You Make Me Sick" glass, they were hideous. They were ugly. They were deformed. They did similar things, showing contaminated lake water versus fresh lake water. He also did some other studies with glasses of water. He named one Hitler, named one Mother Teresa, with the similar results. So you pretty much get the picture of what's going on here. But considering our bodies, okay, our bodies are anywhere from 60 to 65% water. Now our minds, our brains, are 75% water. And I'm thinking, duh, isn't there anybody really listening to this? Anybody see this? But you know what? There was really no change in anyone. Nobody even picked up on it. Nobody realized it. See, people don't really realize what they say or were the consequences of what they have said. It says in Scripture in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Sometimes when we speak, we are misunderstood, and things sometimes get misconstrued, and offense occurs. And when offense occurs, then it eventually leads to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, passion, anger, no more shouting or insults, no more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." Wow. You know, in healing school, we're taught there's three main teachings that Christ did. There was the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Agreement, and the Mountain Moving Prayer. And there were about 30 scriptures. But out of these 30, 20 are dealing with unforgiveness. So, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. For in Luke 6:37, it says, "Judge not, and you shall be not judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Amen. In fact, unforgiveness, you know what? I think it was mentioned before by Pastor James. It's not even mentioned in the dictionary. It's not even in there. It's not even in there. So why is unforgiveness such a problem in the church? There was a Catholic priest, and when he was ordained, his job was to start counseling people. And when he started, he found out about 50% of all these people, all these couples that were going to him had unforgiveness. But he said after 10 years, he found out it was about 75. And then, he said, then I got the 20 years. And when there was 20 years, that included all the relationships, the financial problems, constant bickering and fighting, he says it was about 90%. 90%. Now, we talked to Pastor Joshua. Counseling about 30 plus years, at least, he says it's about 99% of unforgiveness. People have unforgiveness. The odds are, you and I probably have some unforgiveness somewhere hidden away. The problem is unforgiveness turns into bitterness. And the scripture, Ephesians 4:31, says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Joshua and Sarah used to have a neighbor, and she was in a wheelchair. And they started talking to her one time and started to minister to her. And they found out that she had unforgiveness against her sister. Well, she went back into the house later on, and she called her sister up. And you know, they got the resolve. They resolved their differences. No more unforgiveness. They forgave each other. And then Pastor Joshua and Sarah found out later on that she started walking around the house the next day. Wow. The next day. Unforgiveness is debilitating. There is a correlation between unforgiveness and paralysis. Satan, we know Satan. Well, in John 10:10, it says the thief, which is Satan, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know why they say except, because he comes to us trying to steal, kill, and destroy all the time. You see, when you're in unforgiveness, it separates you from people. It causes you to get sick, because Satan now can attack you because you open the door. When you don't forgive, you'll be given to the tormentors. Now, you don't have this in your script, in your outline, but there's a new scripture. Matthew 18:35, it says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Well, I don't think any of us want tormentors. We need to forgive. It says, when you pray to God, in number two, it says, it blocks your prayers because there is iniquity in your heart. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Wow. If your heart condemns you, your prayers are not answered. 1 John 3:20. And forgiveness, number four, precedes healing, which is easier. Well, we know that, hey, Jesus, all things are possible with Jesus. Jesus can do anything. So if he wants to heal, forgive at the same time, he can. Nothing's impossible for him. The bottom line is we need to forgive. So where do we begin? We need to begin with ourselves. Okay? In Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. We need to make this an affirmation. This has to be an affirmation for us. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. Every one of us. So our affirmation would say, in the name of Jesus, I esteem others better than myself. Let's everyone say that right now. In Jesus' name, I esteem others better than myself. Again, in Jesus' name, I esteem others better than myself. One more time. In Jesus' name, I esteem others better than myself. Amen. Now we need to confess our sins. RRB. Then ask the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us and touch us and that he would move in us. And if we know how, we can establish the kingdom of God. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to identify our unforgiveness. Even if we don't feel like it. Wow, that's right. Even if we don't feel like it. Somebody's really forgiven you recently, and I mean really offended you, and it's really hard. The Bible says we have to forgive. We need to forgive. Even if we don't feel like it, we need to do it by faith. Luke 6:28 says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." You know, the Lord was talking to me, and he said, "You know, Michael, you're forgiving everyone, and you need to remind the Holy Spirit and to touch the Holy Spirit." And to just, so that, to pray to the Holy Spirit that he shows you unforgiveness in your heart, which is true. We have to do that. But then there is unforgiveness we have caused. What about the people we offended? Sure, people offended us. But what about the people we offended? What about the people that have offended? Unforgiveness because of us. You see, we need to forgive. We need to forgive them, but also we need to pray that they can forgive us. Because we have hurt someone. We have hurt someone. Repent of forgiveness. And of course, that's 1 John 1:9. Believe you have received prayer of faith. Wow, look at this scripture. Mark 11:24. Boy, that looks familiar. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We shall and we will. Amen. Act as though it is done. It is done. Period. Because we ask it in faith. In James 1:22, it says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. Matthew 5:44, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. They get to do all that stuff to you, and you still have to forgive. A little one-sided to me, but you know what? We can do all things through Christ. Amen? Amen. God is in us. The anointing is in us. Watch your words. Treat remembrances as of offense as sin. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations, every high thing, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Now we need to remember. Remember. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind, tender-hearted to one another, and forgive one another as God has forgiven us through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's it. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Well, they've always told me that if you speak, when you visit a church, if you speak a short time, they'll invite you back. But I never learned that, okay? I never learned that. Michael, it was very wonderful, very great. When you were speaking, I turned over to my wife and I said, "Honey, listen to him. I feel like a proud daddy. Okay? That was super. That was a home run. That was a home run. Okay. So let's jump off from where he was, okay? So let's open your Bible to Luke chapter 6. So Luke chapter 6. Yeah, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So, Pastor Michael, you know, taught that when you walk in offense and unforgiveness, it blocks all your prayers. Not some of your prayers, all your prayers. And that is so serious that Jesus said the Heavenly Father would turn you over to the tormentors. So when we choose to walk in offense and unforgiveness, you can, after a while, if you track it, see a direct correlation between your offense and symptoms and problems in your body and in the things you possess. We have one rather miraculous story here, that I don't want to put the person on the spot, assuming the person is here. But that person really got hold of it. Took a while, but they got hold of it. And I tell you, it's been a mighty change in the person's life because they finally understood. If you get into offense and walk into unforgiveness, you can see those challenges showing up in your body and in your possessions. Now, if you walk with natural eyes, you think, how in the world could my refrigerator break down because I got offended at the drugstore? See, in the natural, it doesn't make any sense. But your refrigerator might have been a gift from God. You might have been affirming everything I own works perfectly and properly. The refrigerator once may have been challenged and you prayed, it got fixed with prayer. And suddenly, the prayer that was upholding it got shot down because you got upset at the clerk at the drugstore. See, we have to walk by, live our physical life through spiritual eyes. Right? So, since your prayers are blocked by unforgiveness in every area, it includes finances. It includes finances. That's why when you go to most churches, almost all churches, you'll find about 90% of the people financially challenged and physically challenged. I'm not saying the devil attacks them in the process of fighting them off. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're overwhelmed by physical challenges and financial challenges. And just by coincidence, what the Catholic priests say, it's 90% unforgiveness. So, if you found Luke chapter 6, which is in the book of Luke, chapter 6, okay? If you look at verse 20, Jesus starts preaching in verse 20. He said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He goes all the way through Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom." And that's applied so frequently in the more knowledgeable part of the church, of the body of Christ, applied to finances. And we give, and we expect back. Expect it to come back. But in this entire chapter, from verse 20 to 38, where he's talking about giving and receiving, there's not one word about money. Of the 18 verses here, not one talks about money. Look at verse 37. "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." Why? Because whatever you give, it comes back to you. So if you want to apply third tier to finances, then you really should. You should understand that when you give money, money comes back to you. You have a right to expect it to come back to you. You have a right to command it to come back to you. But on the other hand, you also have a right to expect that the giving of money in verse 38 will be blocked by what happens in verse 37. 38 didn't follow 37 by accident. 38 is put there after 37 and 36 and 35 because he's summarizing all the things he's saying here. So if you look at your finances and it's not where you want it to be, first place to start is the verse before. Judge not, and you should not be judged. Condemn not, and you should not be condemned. Forgive, and you should be forgiven. So again, the unforgiveness will block all your prayers, including the ones for money, and short-circuit all your scriptures in your life, including the ones for money. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, praise God. I can keep it short also. So, that's it for tonight, right, Michael?
That's right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.